For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from offseason to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. Glad you could join. And it's going to be talking about defensive free agent targets for the San Francisco 49ers. And free agency is rapidly approaching, and the 49ers still have holes that they have to fill. Now, 49ers' normal process is to go ahead and fill as many holes as they can in free agency. It doesn't always have to be big names, but also under-the-radar players that they can sign that are either going to help them depth-wise or be low-level starters that they can bring in. Last year, they did it in a big way. They got a quarterback in Sam Darnold. They got a defensive end in Cleveland Farrell. They brought in guys that were going to make sure they helped their team. A couple of years ago, it was George Odom. It was Oren Burks. Players that were going to serve as depth pieces and special teams help as well. You could throw Ray McCloud into that mix as well. Well, now here we come. The free agency is upon us, and the 49ers have to do something similar. It doesn't mean a big name won't come. Charvarius Ward, Javon Hargrave, just a couple over the last 2 years that the 49ers have decided to bring in on big money deals. So in this, we're going to touch on some of the big money guys at positions that we know potentially big money will go, but also some of the guys that make sense as far as scheme and as far as price that the 49ers can bring in to help at certain positions. And we went through our position rank a couple of weeks ago. We've also done edge rushers, so I'm not going to touch on edge rushers in this one. I'm going to talk mainly about the guys who are available at the other positions. If you want to talk edge rushers, go back and check out my other episode. It's a good one. We break down almost every single edge rusher that makes sense for the 49ers from every single tier. So go check that one out. That came out a little while back as well. But we know on defense that linebacker is one the 49ers really have to take care of, and so is defensive line. Not just edge, but also defensive tackle, where you're going to have a lot of your depth as free agents. Javon Kinlaw and Kevin Givens are free agents. Filling that void is important. What do you feel about Kalia Davis? If you're the 49ers and you feel very comfortable with Kalia Davis, then you may only have to pick up a couple of defensive tackles. One in free agency that's low priced, one in the draft. Some people are saying DJ Jones. A trade for DJ Jones at $9.9 million. I don't know if the 49ers would do that. Would they call to find out what Denver's willing to do, especially after Denver was willing to eat almost all of Randy Gregory's contract last year? Sure, you make the phone call. You find out, and also you try to figure out if they're going to eventually release DJ Jones, and he's going to become available. So let's leave DJ Jones out of this when we're talking about positional need. And let's leave Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack. We know that they're available, according to Josina Anderson. That's what a lot of us have thought. They're going to be available through trade. But they get roster bonuses on March 16th. So the likelihood is the Chargers are going to look to move on from one or both of their premier pass rushers. And when that happens, yes, the 49ers could be very interested in bringing in one of those guys, especially one named Joey Bosa, who could then play with his brother. So linebacker, defensive line, top of the defensive pecking order, then cornerback, and then safety. So safety, because you potentially have two starters already with Tau Fonga and Jair Brown. I know you have two with the cornerback position, but a nickel corner need is huge for the 49ers. So that's why cornerback is ahead of safety as far as need. And we explained about defensive tackle and linebacker, Dre Greenlaw. What's going to happen with Dre? How healthy is he going to be? Going to be ready week one, like some doctors are saying? Is it going to be November like others, or is he out for the whole season? The 49ers have to make sure they take care of this, and you don't have to worry about the potential of not having Dre Greenlaw. So with Oren Burks and Demetrius Flannigan-Fowles being free agents, you've got to figure something out. But I would like to thank you guys for watching. Please like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. I really appreciate it. Audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe. Please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today, become part of the team, and remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. So for the 49ers, we know that linebacker is going to be something that they're going to really want to approach. That's going to be the number one need for them. And I think there's a lot of juicy linebackers that are potentially available. And we've talked about Azeez Alshire. Azeez Alshire, right now, the market value appears to be about $6.5 million. And that was my big question when we talked about 49ers, former 49ers who could potentially return. Is Azeez coming back? What would that money look like? Because he made $5 million for the Tennessee Titans, and it was looking like he was going to get a raise, and he is. $6.5 million, though, is not crazy money to bring in a guy, especially if you think Dre Greenlaw's not coming back until November. If he's not coming back till November, you need a guy that's going to play 100% of the snaps with Fred Warner. $6.5 million is way too expensive for a guy who's just going to play Sam Backer and play about 25% of the snaps. So now it starts making sense for the 49ers to potentially bring in a guy or a caliber of player like Azeez Alshire or others. So, yes, you don't want to spend $6.5 million in a linebacker position when you already have money tied up with Fred Warner, money tied up with Dre Greenlaw, but you just might have to. His injury makes it so you do. Could you bring Oren Burks back and make him fill that role and play every single down? Yes. What is his pay increase going to be? Is he going to make $3.5-4 million? Well, do you want to just pay an extra $2 million and go with Azeez Alshire, who, as much as I like Oren Burks, Azeez Alshire is a better player from top to bottom. He's also a guy that, if something, heaven forbid, happened to Fred Warner, could step in a blink of an eye and play the Mike linebacker spot. So having that versatility could be important. I don't know exactly how this contract would work. I don't know if it'd be a one-year deal to potentially bring Azeez in, but they've got to make sure they take care of the linebacker position. I do know this. When Dre Greenlaw got back, it does not mean Dre Greenlaw would play all the snaps he normally would. What they could do, because he's coming back from the Achilles injury, they could split the snaps between him and whoever comes in, whether that's Azeez Alshire or one of these other linebackers we're going to talk about. Bringing him in and letting him split snaps would allow him to reacclimate to the defense. So I think it's a potential option for the 49ers to go out and get a guy the caliber of Azeez Alshire and pay a little bit more money than you would like in 2024, especially if that money comes out early on and not later. Now, the 49ers have been pushing most of the money to 2025, 2026. That's always a possibility. But I think Azeez Alshire is a potential target for the San Francisco 49ers. And this isn't your normal case of a player leaving because he wasn't good enough or you just couldn't afford him. It was because he needed an opportunity to play more snaps, and everyone knew he deserved that opportunity to go make big money. And somebody still might throw bigger money at him than the 49ers can possibly give him. Now, one thing to remember, Azeez Alshire came back during the playoffs, was hanging out with all the players. They are still definitely all friends. He's really good friends with Dre Greenlaw. And also, he has been very, very happy with his time in San Francisco. I think that's a possibility that Azeez Alshire could be somebody the 49ers look at. Other linebackers potentially they could bring into the fold is Bobby Wagner. And a lot of people, you know, might say, wait, he's getting long in the tooth. And you're right. What if I told you his PFF numbers were he was better in run defense than Aziz Alshire. He was better in pass defense than Aziz Alshire. He still played very well. And one thing we know the 49ers have to do is they have to be good against the run. That is something Bobby Wagner can do. Now, the flexibility that Fred Warner would have to display with Bobby Wagner there would be something he can do, but would they, the 49ers, want to do that? I think that's what's interesting. I think you would want more of Bobby Wagner sitting at Mike in obvious pass downs and Fred going out. They kind of do that already, right? They like to leave Dre Greenlaw in there. Greenlaw handles running backs. Fred Warner will handle tight ends. This is something the 49ers have done very often. So having a guy like Bobby Wagner who understands what he's looking at recognition-wise would be a huge advantage. But where's Bobby Wagner now? He's almost 34 years old. Is this the time when he's saying, you know what? Money's no longer a thing. I want to win a Super Bowl. If that's the case, he becomes an option for the 49ers. If it's not, he's not. I still think Aziz would be number one option for the 49ers, but Wagner would be an option if Aziz got a big deal because you could bring him in with a shot to win a Super Bowl. Now, would he go to the 49ers? Could he do a Richard Sherman and go to the 49ers? One of the coaches is going to be KJ Wright, former teammate. I think that helps. He does know what's going on with the defense because the defensive coordinator, Sorensen, was once with Seattle with Bobby Wagner. There's a connection there. That would make sense. But Wagner had a really good season last year with Seattle. I think he's an option for the 49ers if the money was right. And if it was, then it would make sense. I think Aziz is number one, but I think Bobby Wagner could come in there at number two. Denzel Perryman from Houston just played for D'Amico Ryans, understands what this 49ers defense is like because he played in a similar system with similar language with D'Amico. He also got coached by D'Amico-style coaches, which means he fits what the 49ers want to do. If he wants to come in, have opportunity to play, I think Denzel Perryman fits the role what the 49ers are looking for as somebody that could come in that won't cost you a lot of money, but could come in and stabilize that linebacker position until Dre Greenlaw gets back. So I like Perryman. His familiarity with the defense and the scheme and the philosophy makes a lot of sense for the 49ers to go ahead and bring a guy in that they can plug and play. They don't have time to teach somebody the defense. That's why Aziz, Bobby Wagner, now Perryman makes sense. Guys that could acclimate very quickly to what the 49ers do. The language won't seem foreign, and they'll be able to pick it up because Sorensen's going to put his own spin on this defense, probably with some stuff coming from Brandon Staley as well, but these guys can handle it. These guys are all intelligent, and they can pull it off. Shaq Leonard from Philadelphia. Now, Shaq, of course, got cut by the Colts last year, landed with Philly. There were lots of rumors about him potentially being interested in San Francisco, but it was never really a true statement because of Dre Greenlaw. Shaq still wants to play full amount of snaps, and he could do that if he plays next to Fred, especially depending on when Dre comes back. The question will be, does he want to play limited snaps once Dre comes back? I think that's the question for all these guys. Are they going to be willing to go from playing will linebacker to playing sandbacker? I think that's a big question for Shaq Leonard, but he signed a pretty cheap deal last year. I don't know if people think he's as good as he used to be, but he had 88 tackles last year. He still did a pretty good job. I think he could be an option if his value doesn't hold up on the open market and there's not teams as willing to bring him back. I think that could be a possibility for the 49ers to bring him back. Willie Gay from Kansas City, a fast linebacker, moves around very quickly, explosive. 49ers got a firsthand look of him in the Super Bowl. I think Willie Gay could be an option. Here's the problem. He's more expensive than Aziz Alshire. He's projected to make $7 million per year, which means I mention him, but I don't think he's a real possibility because I don't think the 49ers want to overpay for the position. I know $500 million is not a lot, but in salary cap-wise, it could be. It could be the difference between bringing another role player and not. So I think I wanted to bring him up because I think the 49ers would be interested in calling him and finding out what his number looks like, but I don't think he will be a guy the 49ers ultimately sign because of the amount of money he's potentially going to make on the open market. And then Anthony Walker Jr. from Cleveland. Here's a guy that's had, you know, a pretty good run of success, especially recently playing for Schwartz and the Cleveland Browns. And I thought he had a pretty good season overall. And this is a guy that would be pretty low priced, someone you could bring in and take advantage of using his skills at the linebacker position. So that's somebody the 49ers could definitely take a look at, and I think they probably should take a look at him. Now, let's talk about defensive line And I'm only going to bring up one defensive tackle right now because I think the likelihood is the 49ers bring one of the two guys back, whether that is Javon Kinlaw, projected value $5.4 million, or Kevin Givens, who is definitely going to be a lot cheaper. There's also other guys on the market, but I think it's likely they bring one of these guys back and maybe bring another guy in.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Plus draft a defensive tackle, because I do think they're high on Clea Davis, but I think they'd like to bring in another pretty good name. Could it be Hassan Ridgeway? He's going to have to get healthy first. So there's going to be guys that you're probably going to hear tied to the 49ers. They have a particular type. And one guy that I think could be an interest of the 49ers, the guy they scouted very heavily in the draft a while back, was Raekwon Davis. And I think Raekwon Davis, he's been playing in Miami. I think he would fit better with what the 49ers do on defense. So this was a guy that I went ahead and circled, and I said, you know what? Raekwon Davis would make a lot of sense. I know Chris Kocurek was high on him in that draft, and the 49ers had thought about taking him in the second round. So Raekwon Davis being available could be of interest to the 49ers as they look to potentially replace Evan Givens or Javon Kinlaw as far as backing up Javon Hargrave and Eric Armstead. So keep an eye on Raekwon Davis. Let's see what happens with him. I'm sure he's going to get a lot of interest around the league. But to me, that was one that made a lot of sense. So let's go to the cornerback position. This is going to be a big one because the 49ers have a decision to make. Do we go get a outside corner and move Demo in? And Demo plays about 70% of the snaps. Or do we get a nickel corner and leave Demo on the outside? First off, I like to say that I think Demo is good enough to play on the outside or play on the inside at the highest of levels. I think he's got the ability to be a Pro Bowler in this league consistently. So I think the 49ers are just looking for the best potential player, whether that's outside or inside, so that way they can have the best group. We know Charvarius Ward's going to play real good. Potentially an extension coming up. 49ers are going to have to make a decision if they want to extend him 2025 and beyond. But they're going to have to make sure they make sure this cornerback room is really good. Teams have came after the 49ers, and the 49ers had a hole with that third cornerback position, whether that was Ambry Thomas, Isaiah Oliver. It just wasn't very good consistently. There were flashes, but we need more than flashes from that position. Of course, we're going to have some big-name guys. I'm going to bring them up, and then I'm going to talk about some options that maybe fly a little bit more under the radar that make a lot of sense for the 49ers. Xavien Howard, of course, coming off injury from the Miami Dolphins, is going to be a guy that's going to be mentioned with the 49ers. I think the reason that you look at a guy like Xavien Howard coming off injury is because that's when financially it makes sense. You can't afford him. You can't have two elite cornerback pays on the outside. It makes it difficult. But when a guy's coming off injury, potentially one-year deals are what you're looking to get. You get a one-year deal, a prove-it deal. They come in. They get a lot of bonuses for play, and then they go out there on the open market next year after everyone's seen them play 17 games and optimize their value on the open market. So I think that's why he makes sense. I would be a little bit nervous about the injury history, but that's one of the chances you have to take. Now, you can't just go one guy and think that that's it. You've got to make sure you get depth. You're going to have to address in the draft. You're going to have to find low-priced guys as well, guys who are cheap that maybe have a lot of upside. But I think that's why he would make sense for the 49ers. I don't think this is the direction they go. I would love it because he's a great player. I don't think this is the direction they go because they do fear injury. But that's the only way some of these guys make sense is because they're coming off injury history. A guy like Joey Bosa, for instance, the reason he makes sense for the 49ers if he gets released is because they could sign him to a one-year prove-it type deal, potentially takes a little bit less, and then goes on the open market, plays with his brother, and everything's gravy. So I think that's what we're talking about here with Xavien Howard. I think another high-priced guy that everyone was talking about last year the 49ers could trade for is Kendall Fuller, and he's been with the Washington Commanders. Now, he's projected to make $13.6 million. So if you felt that you were going to extend Charvarius Ward or not be able to extend Charvarius Ward, you could potentially sign Fuller and then let Ward leave when his contract came up. I think the 49ers like Mooney Ward. I think they want to extend Mooney Ward. What numbers his number going to look like? I don't think you have two high-priced corners. That's not how the Niners do it. I think they'd rather spend $13.6 million at a edge position as a defender. So, to me, Kendall Fuller doesn't make sense unless they predetermine that they're not going to bring back Charvarius Ward after the season. Then they could potentially go with a high-priced corner free agent. Now, one guy that's interesting to me is Stephon Gilmore. And I've been talking about him for a couple of years before he went to the Colts, before he went to the Cowboys. Stephon Gilmore does make sense for the 49ers. But the number is what gets interesting. Now, Gilmore's getting older. Still wants to make money, but I think he wants to win a championship again. And so I think this is an opportunity for the 49ers to potentially bring Gilmore in for under $10 million. Now, his market value looks to be over $11.1 million for Stephon Gilmore in the season that he had last year. Yeah, that makes sense to me. He played all 17 games. He had two interceptions, and he played really good once they had an injury that took away their top defender in Diggs. So Stephon Gilmore was playing the number one corner role the entire year, taking on number one receivers, and he held up really well. Imagine if he was playing two sometimes. It would be even more lockdown. The guy with versatility to play man and zone, he can do it all. Great recognition, great tackler, physical at the point of attack. He fits the bill. He's older. He understands what he's looking at as far as there's no scheme that's going to throw him off. He's really good. Now, is his skills slowly diminishing? Absolutely. He's not as good as he was 5 years ago, but he's still good enough to be an elite corner for the 49ers, covering number two wide receivers with Charvarius Ward taking on number ones. Plus that versatility to be able to play outside and inside if you want him to go with and travel with a wide receiver. I like him being big and physical against guys like DK Metcalf, but still being able to run with guys like Puka Nacua. It makes a lot of sense for the 49ers to bring in a Stephon Gilmore, who held up really good in the NFC East. What would that money look like? Could you sign him to a two-year deal and kind of move that money between both years, potentially? But this is the first high-price guy that I think is a real option for the 49ers at corner. The guy down on his luck, J.C. Jackson, right? The 49ers chose Charvarius Ward, and boy, did they choose right. Him and Jackson were the number one and two free agents that season to see where they were going to land. They landed with Charvarius Ward. J.C. Jackson goes to the Chargers and has a lot of struggles. But here's Brandon Staley, a guy that was willing to trade for him or willing to sign him. And then you had him sent to New England last year. Now, he struggled even with Belichick. The only reason I say this is it's a reclamation project. But the 49ers have the coaching to be able to reclaim one of these guys and help them develop back to where they were. So that's why I don't mind J.C. Jackson. I think he's going to be a very cheap deal. But this is a guy who at one time was seen as one of the top corners in the league. So why not take a shot, a very cheap deal, and see what you can get out of him. See if he can hold up in camp. I think this might be one of those ones where you take a shot. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, you know, if his number's too high, ignore it. If his number's where you want it to be, he's under $5 million, bring him in, let him compete, and see what you got. Maybe being in your defense, playing for Daniel Bullock's, you can reestablish what he was, and maybe Brandon Staley can give you some insight into what was going on with J.C. Jackson. But I think this is one of those guys that has high upside. It could be a low-risk move. If it doesn't work out, you just move on and go another direction. So he's somebody I'm going to keep an eye on and see. I think a team's going to take a chance on him. We'll see if that ends up being the 49ers. Kenny Moore out of Indianapolis, nickel cornerback. This is somebody that the 49ers may be interested in. There was a lot of talk about him potentially coming in last year at the trade deadline to play nickel. Now, I thought his season last year was up and down. He does find the football and create turnovers, but I think at times he does get beat. So if the 49ers are looking to go nickel corner in this route to keep Debo outside, Kenny Moore makes a lot of sense. Question is, though, are you going to pay $8 million for a nickel corner? So far, the 49ers haven't been willing to do that. They've continued to skimp at the position. Someone like Kaywan Williams, for instance, they were never willing to pay him big money, just over $2 million every time. He's going to be a free agent, but consistently hurt. So Kenny Moore's a name to keep an eye on. If the 49ers decide to pay at the nickel cornerback position, they're going outside. I don't know. I think I would rather have Stephon Gilmore for $10 million than Kenny Moore for $8 million. I've let Demo play the nickel because I think he does a really good job, but that's just my opinion. A guy that now we're going to get into that's a little bit cheaper would be Christian Fulton out of Tennessee. He's expected to make $6.3 million. This is a young guy I think the 49ers could bring in. I think he's got a lot of upside, and I think $6.3 million is a sweet spot for the 49ers at the cornerback position. This would give them the ability to play Demo in the nickel, but they could play Christian Fulton the same way they played Ambry Thomas. Demo on the outside or, you know, on base downs, the nickel, you're over there 70% of the time anyway. Christian Fulton playing the outside, I think that's a possibility for the 49ers at the cornerback position. So these are some guys at corner I think make a lot of sense for the San Francisco 49ers. And then we've got our safeties. And there's only two guys that I really pointed out. And I try not to get too long on some of these positions. I try to look for exact fits for the 49ers and guys who would actually make sense. And then there was a couple guys I wanted to mention because they get brought up all the time, financially don't make sense. Well, when it came to safety, these two guys are going to be cheap. They haven't played a whole lot in their career, but have a lot of upside and can help on special teams. First off is Ashton Davis, the former Cal product. Everyone broke him down in the draft a few years ago, but he played for the Jets. So he played for Robert Saleh, has an understanding of what Saleh does in the defense. Jeff Ulbrich, defensive coordinator. So is it going to be exactly what they do in San Francisco with Sorensen and Bullocks? No, but it's going to be so close, and a lot of the language is going to sound completely the same that he's going to be able to pick it up. The reason I like him, and someone actually brought him up, I wish I could remember, give him credit, but I appreciate you bringing up Ashton Davis because I looked him up. This is a great move because he fits the system, played within a similar scheme, is very athletic, can help you on special teams. It would be a great number three safety. The 49ers decide not to bring back George Odom and not to bring back Deshaun Gibson. You have to make sure you fill that depth at the safety position. Now, if they bring back Odom and they bring back Gibson, well, they're four strong, right? And then you don't worry about it. But I think this is a young guy, only 25 years old, who has a lot of ability that the 49ers could bring in, develop, and then have him step in if needed. Three interceptions in the season. Josie's got the ability to ball hawk. That's a great number. I think this is a guy that's young who the 49ers could put in there, and he could really establish some depth for that 49ers safety room, especially if Deshaun Gibson moves on or retires, and if George Odom doesn't come back to the San Francisco 49ers. The other one is Adrian Amos. Now, this is a guy that's a little bit older. You're talking 31 years old, but he just played a season in Houston. And once again, you got that connection. Whenever you have similar scheme, that's when guys make sense. Scheme fits are important. Now, sometimes you can find guys in other systems and they make more sense for your scheme. And you bring them in and it makes sense. A guy like Raekwon Davis has been playing in a 3-4, but would fit really nice in the 49ers playing on the inside in their 0 or 3 tech position. So to me, this is Adrian Amos makes a lot of sense for the 49ers, especially if they're looking for a veteran. Because if you have Hufanga and you have Jair Brown, you're lacking veteran leadership behind. Gibson gave that veteran leadership. If he's moving on, he's retiring or going to another team, you need to make sure you have a veteran back there. Now, I think Hufanga has done very good through the last 3 years learning and creating that veteran ability, but Amos has seen it all. He's been around. He understands. To me, that would be make a lot of sense for the 49ers, and that's why I do like bringing vets in at certain positions to help with the conversations in the rooms, meeting rooms, learning the different schemes and learning different concepts. Experience is key. And I think that could be huge for the 49ers. So there are guys who are going to be available for the 49ers on defense. They're going to be making some moves and bringing some guys in. Will these be the guys? I think that's, you know, hard to figure out who the 49ers are going to bring in, but these are guys who definitely fit the scheme, fit what the 49ers are looking for, and potentially could be guys they bring in. Now, of course, I do believe edge rush is going to be a big, big thing for the 49ers in free agency. I think they want to make sure they get this established, at least one to two edge rushers. That way they don't have to count on what happens in the draft. Now, Joey Bosa being available, Khalil Mack being available, could throw this thing completely out of whack, especially when it comes to Chase Young, and that would be interesting. Go back and check out my edge rush video. That's available. And then, of course, this was defensive free agent targets. Let me know if there's a defensive free agent target that I didn't mention. leave it in the comment section down below. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You know, people bring up guys all the time, and it can open my eyes. Sometimes you're just not as familiar with every single player, and that's okay. You're trying to make educated guesses as you watch around the league and see players that fit the system for the 49ers. And we know for the 49ers, high price is potential, but low price is the guys where you really make your money, where you bring in guys for less money that end up paying huge dividends for your football team. And that's exactly what the 49ers are trying to look for and trying to find. Thanks for watching the episode. Please like and subscribe. 49ers Cutback on Believe. This episode was brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. I'll catch you guys all in the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.